The following audio is from Foundation Life Bible Church. More information about Foundation Life is available at www.foundationlbc.com.
There's all these devices up here. It's like, sorry, what? Andrew. No, sorry. I shouldn't have brought my own Bible up. No. We're going to be reading a couple of verses today. I'm going to start with 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 5 through 7. And then our passage for today, which is Mark 4, 21 through 25. I'll give you a second. Flip in your Bibles or on your phones. For we are not proclaiming ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of God's glory in the face of Jesus Christ. Now we have this treasure in clay jars so that this extraordinary power may be from God and not from us. And then Mark chapter 4, 21 through 25. He also said to them, "Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed? Isn't it to be put on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden that will not be revealed and nothing concealed that will not be brought to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him listen." And he said to them, "Pay attention to what you are to hear. Pay attention to what you hear. By the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and more will be added to you. For whoever has, more will be given to him, and whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him."
Thanks, Sam. Well, as Em said, open up to Mark chapter 4, verses 21 to 25. And while you're doing that, I'll go ahead and open us in prayer. Father, we're humbled to be in your presence. We're humbled to gather in your name, Lord. And Father, we pray first that your Spirit would fill us, God, and that we'd be faithful to your word. We'd be faithful to the text today, God. And Father, as we looked at your word last week, you reminded us, Jesus, in the first parable, Lord, how we will do nothing more important than sit under your word. We'll do nothing more important, God, than to listen today, to sit under your word, God. And so we pray, Lord, that today that all of us would have receptive hearts that are ready to receive your word in humility, God. And Father, we thank you that we can come to your throne with confidence, God. And so we do that, Lord. And we do that, Lord, today, lifting up Don's family, Lord, who passed away this week at Crestwood, Lord. We pray for his family. We pray for the residents, God. And we just pray and ask, God, that you use this as you often do, Lord, to draw these people to yourself, God. And Father, we lift up the Selby family to you, and Lord, particularly Chris and Barb, Lord, and just thank you for their new blessing, Lord, and Annalene, Father, but also lift Chris up to you, Lord, as his grandfather's passed away, Lord. And so we just pray for them, Lord, and we pray that you use this in their life, God, as you continue to work in their home. And Lord, we want to lift up Jim Leonard to you, God, and just pray for him as he's in the hospital and recovering, God, and just ask you, Lord, that you bring healing to him, Lord, and that you help the doctors determine what the next steps are, God. Thank you for allowing us to come together in your word, Lord. We love you and we praise you, Lord, and it is a privilege to be your children. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So last week in our text, chapter 4, verses 1 through 20, we touched on the fact that it's important how we approach God's word. It is vital to think about that. How am I approaching God's word today? And I would encourage you to keep that in mind as we look at today's passage. Because we are all sitting under the word, and God says, if you hear, then hear. For those that hear, hear, listen, receive it with receptive hearts. And so understanding Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 20, is the key to understanding this week's passage. In other words, one builds right off the other. So Jesus says, with what I had in mind last week, carry that over to verses 21 to 25. And so as we looked at this, and we'll see today that Jesus is teaching the parable on the lampstand, and his listeners would understand what it truly means to sit under the Word of God. His disciples would understand what it truly means to sit under the truth and what God expected of them when they sat under the truth. So if you're taking notes, here's where I want you to camp. And I just encourage you to circle this and put this up at the top if you're taking notes. It's simple, but we need to keep this idea in mind. This is very important for kingdom growth. And that is, God reveals truth to you and I so we can pour into others. Let me say that again. God reveals truth to you and I so we can pour into others. Very important we understand that, okay? So let's dig right in here. M read chapter 4, verses 21 to 25, but let's go ahead and look at 21 together and go through the text. And here's what it says. He said to them, "Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand?" So this is the second of four parables that we'll be touching on. And remember, parables, in the simplest way we can put it, was how Jesus related earthly things, everyday things that the people were well aware of, to the Word of God. How he related it to the kingdom of God. So he said, look at the farmer. This is how that relates to the kingdom of God. And today he says, look at the lamp that you're all familiar with. That's how this relates to the kingdom of God. So the people were very familiar last week, we saw, with how farmers planted seeds. And remember, they'd have a pouch and they would just spread it anywhere. And seeds would fall all over the place. But the goal was that the seed would fall on good soil. And it was also quite common, and the Jewish nation knew this, that these lamps were used to light up their homes. These lamps filled with oil were used to light up their homes. And most homes had at least one. Some had several that would put off light. But here's the neat part about it. The lamp would only illuminate as the oil was used up. So they'd have to refill it again and again. But notice the first thing Jesus points out. It would be ridiculous to hide one of these lamps under a bushel, a basket, or a bed, right? Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine, right? We all know that. Okay, so the lamp would lose its purpose and be of no use. And in order to reach its full effectiveness, it was put on a lampstand. It was put higher on the wall so everyone around it could benefit from the light. And so in the same way, Jesus is saying that the lamp gives off light. What Jesus preached is meant to be shared in a dark world. He came to share the truth. He came to preach the truth to a world that was in bondage. And that bondage puts the world in lies. And we see that playing right now out around us. When we believe lies, when the world believes lies. So he came to preach repentance. He came to preach salvation. And that it's found in him being the light and him alone. He said it would make absolutely no sense with me being the light of the world to hide, to leave in the dark who I am and what I came to do. My purpose is to reveal the message. And remember, we saw this in chapter 1 a couple times. Let us go to the next town so I can do what? So I can preach. So I can preach repentance. So I can preach that the kingdom of God is near. So I can preach that I've come to reign in men's hearts. And so he came to reveal the Father. And as John 9:5 says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So let's think about this blue letter. When we say blue letter, if you're visiting today, what blue letter means is, how does this apply to my life? What does this look like? And so what about for us? If you are here this morning and the Lord has given you eyes to truly see, if he's given you ears to truly understand the gospel, I believe the Lord would say this to all of us. He would say, the gospel truth that he's revealed to us is not just for us. It's not meant to be hidden. It's meant to be shared. And he desires that us, the scripture that Em just read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he desires for us who are earthly vessels to allow his light, the truth of who he is, the gospel preached, to shine in and through us. That's what the Lord's after. Listen to Matthew 5:16. In the same way, let your light shine before others. Why? So that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. And maybe you're saying this, and I'll be honest with you, I used to sit, when I sit under the word, there's times where I said, I've heard this passage a million times. What else could I possibly glean? But I think here's what the Lord would say. Let me caution you with the truth we opened up last week. Are you hearing this morning with a receptive, humble heart? And don't miss this. Anticipating, expecting that God will change you when you sit under his word. It's key. Because that's what's supposed to happen. We are supposed to be changed when we sit under the word of God. We're to anticipate that. We're to receive that by faith. So look with me at verse 22, and we'll read further what he says. For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. How many of you like to camp? Who likes to camp? Have you noticed how brave raccoons are? Oh my goodness. Raccoons are brave. We didn't have any last night though, did we, Steve? Did we have some? Okay, I thought maybe they knew that if they come to your house, it might go bad for them, but I didn't know. Okay, so as many of us did last night, when our family camps, we like to eat s'mores. Who likes s'mores? Yep. To be honest, it's just about the Hershey's chocolate for me. Full disclosure. All right? So, and what do those little boogers do? What do the raccoons do when we eat at night? They scheme. They plot. They plan. They find the kids. Who dropped food? How do I get to that food? And when we were camping a couple weeks ago, they were coming right up. Not scared of anyone. And as Bradley pointed out last night, they know they're safe. They know they're safe. There's nothing we could do to them. But they're looking for any possible way. And they get really close. So it gets creepy. It freaks you out a little bit. Because what are they going to do, right? And I found there's one effective way to stop raccoons from coming close. You have to shine your flashlight in their eyes. Then they go back to the woods. But not until then. And if you take that flashlight off, they're just like a kid. They're right back where they were, right? So you've got to keep that flashlight shining on them. But of course, this is short-lived. Because not only do they come back, but those little boogers bring their friends, don't they? And then more and more come. But why do I say this? Because in the same way, part of our salvation is being brought into the light before the King. That's the truth. So, Jesus brings our sin that is hidden into the light, right? While this is good and necessary and part of our sanctification, we are saved, we are being saved. While that's good, it's also painful. It's painful. So, encountering who Jesus is, true righteousness and holiness, who had no sin in him, will bring my wretchedness and sinful nature front and center. Listen to what he says in John chapter 3, 19 and 20. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works will be exposed. And as I heard a pastor say once, it's better to confess your sin now. It's better to be honest and transparent before the Lord and those you walk closely with now than to have it exposed on the day of judgment. And amen to that. So this is one primary reason why the gospel is rejected in our circles and the world around us. Remember, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15 teaches this, that to some we are the aroma of life, but to those who are perishing, we're the smell of death, or the aroma of death, the gospel message. So Jesus is giving a clear message to his disciples here on earth. Soon, more of my kingdom will be given to you. More truths will be revealed to you. But you're not ready. You're not ready. There'll be a time when you will be ready, but you're not ready. Listen how Jesus says this in John 16, 12. I still have much to tell you, but you cannot yet bear to hear it. And it wasn't until after his death, burial, and resurrection that things came to light, that they understood, that the Spirit of God brought Jesus' words back to them. And the reason that is because for a time, things are hidden so they can be permanently received. A brother and I were talking this morning, and I bet this is true in your life. You've heard the same truth countless times. And then one day, you get it. The Spirit of God reveals something. You're like, I've never heard that before. And your friend says, I've told you that 10 times, dude. Right? But what happens? The Spirit of God opens your eyes and your ears and says, you're ready. I want you to learn this about me. And our God is huge. So that's a constant process. There are still things that God is going to reveal to us. This word is powerful. It's alive. And it's new every time we open it up. So we anticipate that God's going to teach us. We anticipate that we're going to be changed. And praise God for that. And of course, there's scriptures here. There's prophecies in this book that are yet to be fulfilled. And one day God will rise and say, see, this is what I meant when you read this in Revelation. This is what I meant when you read this in Ezekiel. So they will be fulfilled. Now look with me at verse 23. For whatever is hidden, if anyone has ears to hear, let them hear. All right. This is the second time that Jesus has said this in chapter 4. As a pastor I sat under once said, I've shared this many times, if it's repeated, it's important. It has significance. It has significance. And what does he say? Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. If we see it more than once, take in its significance. And again, Jesus is saying, let the seed fall on good soil. Listen carefully to my word. Receive them as the truth and act upon them. Be obedient to them by faith. So the Lord would say to us as we look to apply this, what's blue letter? We cannot express enough how important it is for all of us who sit under the Word of God. Even in your quiet time this week, even when you meet in your small groups, when you're listening to the scriptures on your phone, when you're listening to a podcast, we can't express enough that we are responsible for what we hear. What we hear, God says, you are responsible. We cannot approach the word in a haphazard way. There needs to be a fear of who God is. There needs to be an awe of the truth that is revealed to us. So ask yourself right now, do I have a teachable mind? Do I have a teachable mind? Do I expect to be cut by the word of God that is sharper than a two-edged sword? Do I expect for it to reveal what's going on in my heart? Reveal my sin. Reveal what I love that's in the world. Reveal where I'm walking in the Spirit. God says the Word will do that by His Spirit. Ephesians chapter 6, the sword of the Spirit. And here's what He would say. Will you submit to the God that is saving you daily? It's your sanctification. You are being saved. Will we surrender to the Word of God and obey it, which is for our joy and His glory? And again, will I believe as I listen to the Word, as I study the Word, as I sit under the Word, that it's alive and anticipate that I will be changed? Praise God for that. Okay, verses 24 and 25. Let's read those two together. Look what Jesus says. Consider carefully what you hear, He continued. With the measure you use it, it will be measured to you and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. Sobering words from Jesus. All right. So Jesus repeats what He just said at the end of 23 and picks up immediately with the same idea in verse 24. And the Lord knows this. Something is always battling for our attention, isn't it? Something in this world is battling for our attention. And as we've studied in Ephesians, when we looked at what it meant to walk in the light, what it meant to walk in wisdom, what it meant to walk in the Spirit, and what it meant to walk in love, as we looked at that, we were reminded that most of what fights for our attention are lies. Remember, as believers in Christ, Satan uses lies, attacks our mind to put us in bondage, to keep us from continually pursuing the Lord, as David says in 2 Chronicles. Jesus cautions all of us to treat His words, to heed His words, like our life depends on it, because it does. Proverbs 4, 21 and 22. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life, those who find them, and healing to all their flesh. So if we look at the original language of verse 24, it can literally be translated, make sure you are seeing what you are hearing. Make sure you see what you hear. He who has ears to hear, let them hear. Jesus says in John chapter 10, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice. We should be able to distinguish what is of Him and what is of the world, because we know our shepherd well. Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. And it reminds His disciples the incredible blessing that they're sharing in right now as they're sitting in a circle around Jesus. The blessing they have to be given truth straight from the mouth of God. And they understand this. They've watched the crowds. They've watched the Pharisees and scribes. They've watched Jesus' family for a season reject. They've watched many reject the truth again and again, and they understand that some will never understand. They harden their hearts. But with that understanding, of having eyes to see and ears to hear and a mind to conceive comes a responsibility over them, a call on them. They're accountable for the pearls that God has given them. They're accountable to it. They're accountable to the truth that He's shared. And they will give an account on whether or not they've obeyed His words. Did they live them out by faith? Did they evangelize? Because Jesus said, if the seed falls on good soil, there'll be what? There'll be fruit. And what's that fruit? That fruit is like, it's evangelism. So God says, you take in the truth and you share the truth. You plant the seed, I'll make it grow. If you share by faith who I am, I'll make it grow. And that's what He's saying to the disciples. Did they use His word to be a blessing to others? Did they share the truth with those around them? Were they prayerfully considering as they walked into a group of people? Lord, what would you do with the truth that you've given me? What would you call me to do here? See, all of us must understand that as God's followers, He calls us to do the same. Psalm 119:105, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And even though His disciples did not fully understand, as we touched on, He expected them to share what they did understand. Pass on the truth that I have given you. And of course, the message was the same Jesus preached in Mark chapter 1, verse 15. The time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. So, blue letter. Maybe you have this idea in your mind. I know sometimes I do. And honestly, I've just heard this said that, well, evangelism's not my thing. Have you ever thought that? Telling people about Jesus, that's not my thing. Somebody else is really good at that. That's for the people that go to the street corners. That's for the guy that, you know, goes to the mall or whatever else. But the Lord would say this. I've given you what I've given you, no matter what it is, so that you can share. And regardless of what that is, whether that's one verse, whether that's one chapter, God said, what I've revealed to you, share with others. But we must all understand this truth. What God has given us is meant to be shared and not concealed. We are never supposed to be spiritual hoarders. Who's a spiritual hoarder sometimes? Yep, I am. So look at me and please listen carefully. We have to hear this. It's very important. Any truth that God reveals to you is never just for you. It's not. God gave it to you to share with others. We are to share our faith with those around us. Has God saved you? Share it. Has God provided for you? Share it. Has God healed you? Share it. Did God open up the truth in a new way? Share it. Has applying the scripture brought you joy and peace? Share it. Tell how. Has it allowed you to overcome sin? Are you seeing in your life passing from one phase of glory to the next? Share it. Share it with your spouse. Share it with your kids. Share it with your family. Share it with your neighbors. Share it with whoever is in your circles. God says, share it. This is why Jesus uses the example in verse 21, right? What's the song we sing? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This is what God is saying. Psalm 86:12. I will praise you, Lord God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever. And then look at what verse 25 says. Let's look at it one more time. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. Notice the promise Jesus gives to his disciples. If you receive my word in humility with a receptive heart, if you pass it on to others, then what's the promise? You will be blessed. You will be blessed. And how? What's one way? Because when the Lord reveals truth to you and you share it, he's pleased to say, here's more truth. If you reveal the truth I give you, I'll give you more. I'll bless you. I'll reveal more of who I am to you. I'll give you a deeper meaning to the gospel. I'll open up new truths in the word to you. See, the same is true for us. The more we share and pour into others, the more God gives to us. The more God gives to us. And when we share our faith and help others grow, come alongside our brothers and sisters and help them grow. It says, you will be blessed more. That's a promise from Scripture. With the measure we use, it will be measured to us. In other words, Galatians, we reap what we sow. We sow a little, we reap a little. The more we sow, the more the harvest. And understand, church family, God always gives more than us. Say amen if you know that God always gives more than us. Amen. Yes, he does. He does. And his giving will come in all forms. Think back to Ephesians chapter 1. Verses 7 and 8. In accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding, he is pleased to give more grace if we walk in the grace he's given us. He gives us more truth if we apply the truth he's given us. If we are stewards of what he gives us more. He is pleased to see us walk and the abundant life. I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus is saying, give what I have given you if you want to receive more. Whoever has will be given more. What an incredible truth from the Scriptures. And the same is true if we just think of a skill that we use at our job, a craft that we've grown in doing well, we've become a professional at. Some of you are aware that Jacob Rothar, who has a birthday tomorrow, if you want to tell him happy birthday, he goes to C9 and is learning how to work on engines. And I was talking to him and he said, the classroom's been good, learned a lot of things, saw a lot of diagrams, listened to a lot of lectures, but what I'm most excited about is getting my hands on the engine, working on the engine, using the tools. And here's what's true. See, Jacob would never truly learn what it means to work on an engine if he didn't practice, if he wasn't given the tools, if he wasn't given an opportunity to fail. He's got to get his hands dirty. And so it's imperative that he puts what he learns in the classroom into practice at the garage. And in the same way, Jesus tells us what happens to those who reject the truth. A veil is put over the truth and they're unable to see the light. That's what he says. And also true of those that don't share their faith. Don't share mission. And that's convicting. That's convicting. Because those who do not give what God has given, those who do not bless others and pour into others, they will be blinded eventually to the truth they have or may appropriately blinded to the truth that they think they have. And they'll lose what they think they have. A very sober reminder from Jesus. So why is it that so many sit under the Word of God and are blinded to the truth? Well, there's many reasons. Some are just looking for a quick fix, a formula to help them through their problems. Or maybe the truth that they learn is used to puff themselves up, to win an argument, to look smart. Or maybe they've been taught about the benefits of the gospel, but haven't been taught that comes with that a cost. We have to count the cost. That's what Jesus clearly makes sense. Or maybe it was just snatched away. Their heart was softened for a moment, and then Satan snatches it away. Or it's because of the love of this world, the love of things, the love of stuff, or the circumstances of life, just the everyday grind and hard things in life, or maybe the deceitfulness of riches that prevent many from truly hearing. Because Jesus is saying if a person's response to the truth is superficial, if it's casual, if it's haphazard, it will prove to be of no ultimate value. We've got to heed that. We've got to listen to that. So let's close with this. What about us? Are we truly blessing others with what God has given us? I encourage you to pray about that this week. When you're at your places of work, when the waitress serves you, when you're with your family, am I sharing the gospel message with others? Am I giving my testimony? And I'm not speaking about the wonders and the majesty of my amazing God. Am I sharing the truths of God's Word? Many of us spend time with the Lord in the morning. Many of us listen to God's Word in the car. Many of us have our favorite podcast, our favorite pastor that we listen to. God's giving those truths to us because He says, let your light shine among men. Let your light shine. Jesus reminds us in Matthew 5:14, not only does He say that He's light, but look what He says. He says, you are the light of the world. This is the power of the gospel. And this is true because the light himself, Jesus lives in us. Here's what we want to close with. The gospel. The truth. Flourishes when it is shared. Let's pray. Father, I pray that we've received your word with receptive hearts, God. The last thing we want to happen, Lord, is for us to walk out those doors and it to be snatched away, Lord. And fathers, I prayed last week and I prayed this week, Lord, just, God, you're asking all of us to obey you in areas of our life. And your truth is alive, God. So, Father, I pray, Lord, for each here. And I pray, God, that whatever you're asking them to do, whoever you're asking them to share with, whatever hard step, God, this week we saw in the news what happens when we exchange the truth of God for a lie, and we will continue to see that. God, will you give us the courage? Because I almost guarantee, Lord, that this week, that around in the office, Lord, or talking to our lost family members, God, or wherever it is, God, that the school shooting in Noblesville is going to come up, Lord. And we bring that community to you, Lord. but you've given us an opportunity because we have the truth. And Romans 1 clearly tells us what's going on in the heart of man, God. And so, Father, I just pray, Lord, that we're able to point out, Lord, that we've exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped created things rather than the Creator, Lord. We confess that to you, Lord. Help us be lights this week, God. Help us to share your word this week. Help us to speak the truth this week, God. Because there's people around us desperate to hear it, God. And Father, I pray that as we do that, Lord, that we leave the results to you. You call us to be faithful, God, and it says that you will bear the fruit, God. And so we thank you for that. We praise you for that. It's a joy to gather in your name, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to audio from Foundation Life Bible Church, located in Greenwood, Indiana. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without permission. For more information about Foundation Life Bible Church, please visit us online at www.foundationlbc.com.